Good day, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here at the United Nations cafeteria. And sitting next to me, we have delegates. Oh, you're already plugged in. Delegates from the nation of Jamaica. And go ahead and just introduce yourselves to the audience.
Well, I'm Vicky Hansen. I'm from the Ganja Growers and Producers Association and part of the Students for Sensible Job Policy movement at the University of the West Indies, Mona.
Hi, I'm Kaden Francis, and I'm also a part of Students for Sensible Drug Policy at the University of the West Indies.
Hi, and I'm Eleanor Hossie. I advise the government through the Cannabis Industry Advisory Board, which is connected to our Ministry of Industry.
In listening to the presentations today and the past couple of days at UNGAS, so many nations have stood up to approve of this outcome document, which basically maintains a lot of the status quo. Fortunately, the minister from Jamaica has been one of the strong voices standing up. In fact, the last session, when everyone else was talking about what they call NPS, new psychotropic substances or designer drugs, she's the one that stood up and said, we're actually concerned about an old substance, maybe one of the oldest. Give me your thoughts on what's been happening here at UNGAS and how Jamaica fits into this and would like to see some change.
Well, for us, we are concerned that the outcome document, as is now, doesn't take into account the cultures of indigenous people, which our new law, and I'm glad to say that we're leading the world in this approach, is to take account of the rights of our indigenous people to use a plant for their own benefit and to use it in a traditional way that we have always been using it for the healing of the nation. As would be said by our Rastafarian community. And it may be for the UN a drug, but for us, it is a culture, it is a way of life, it is how we live. You go into any household, you'll find a bottle with cannabis being soaked with other herbs, other natural things that we can be used for traditional medical purposes, which scientifically and traditionally has been proven to have benefits. So we are willing to stand up against something that we think will block the rights of our human beings, which is our members of our country, our citizens, and to call for a new approach, which is what our Minister of Foreign Affairs has been doing here at this conference.
Wonderful.
And you know what is something that the world really needs to know is that Jamaica is unified on this position. It's bipartisan. Members of both political parties are supportive of our people and their traditions, which not only include the folk tradition that Vicky speaks of. And you know what is so funny is because everybody's grandmother has a bottle of alcohol with a ganja leaf in there for when you have a cold or when you're ill, or they'll boil some ganja tea for its medicinal benefits. And sometimes those persons who use it that way are quite against the smoking of ganja, but they are for the medicinal benefits, which have been recognized through generations. And our motto is out of many, one people, out of our many people and our many traditions. Jamaica has uniquely come out as a leader for the folk tradition of the medicine of cannabis. We call it ganja. We are unified in that. We are unified behind the Rastafarian faith. That's an indigenous religion to Jamaica, but one where there are proponents for Rastafari all over the world. And what our law that was brought in by our former Minister of Justice, Mark Golding, last year, did that is completely groundbreaking is that he conferred upon Rastafari the legal right to possess and use ganja for their sacramental faith purposes. Now, Rastafari is a recognized faith around the world, and the right to practice your religion is a universal human right. So therefore, all Rastas around the world need to know that Jamaica has stood behind them, given them this legal right, and maybe they can use this as a precedent in their own countries to affirm their own rights.
These international drug treaties have been around for over 50 years. Rastafari has been around for even longer than that. Is it the recent legalization in Uruguay and some U.S. states that have pushed the ball forward in Jamaica for these changes that you referred to?
No, because this is something that we have been doing from centuries, from it was in 1913 and our citizens were being criminalized for it traditionally. However, what is different now is that we have recognized that the world, Uruguay is calling for a change because of the issues they are having. The U.S., unfortunately, is now trying to make a dollar from it. And so therefore they have gone to the capitalist point of trying to get recreational for sale and all of that. So they have come on board our trade. The difference is the purpose and the reason behind it, their change and our change. We're looking at changing the rules because it's beneficial to our people, the culture, the development. I hear this argument about removal of poverty and equality. You can only do that in recognition of the rights of all people, and all people include the indigenous Rastafari, Maroons, indigenous people of every country. So it's good to know that the world is, for various reasons, looking at cannabis differently or ganja differently. But this is something that we have always been doing.
And to be honest, you know, ganja has been prohibited in Jamaica with our ganja law from 1913, some 24 years before the U.S. prohibited it, because it was a people's product. It made people enlightened, and this was recognized by the colonial rulers of the time to be a tool that did not help them, but it did help the people of Jamaica. And so we've been fighting this struggle for a longer time. And to be honest, our government has not always stood in line with the people, because Rastafari has been persecuted for many years and misunderstood. But we have righted that wrong now in government. And our government and our civil society and our bipartisanship is showing. Jamaica is a mature democracy. We are a small nation. We recognize that in certain arenas, we don't have the power to stand out. We seek alliances with like-minded countries. But even then, we are leaders. And our legislation has gone much further than most. We are not on the more extreme ends like Uruguay, which is a closed market, and the United States that have gone full adult use, which are going for the most liberal, laissez-faire type of market situation. Jamaica doesn't want that. Jamaica wants a regulated industry that protects our youth, that confirms the right upon Rasta. It's not as far as the Rastafari would go, because, for example, our Deputy Solicitor General in the Attorney General's office, who is here presenting on behalf of the Jamaican delegation, did mention that, you know, as a religious sacrament, the Roman Catholics can sell their rosaries, but we, the Rastafarians who put ganja very high in their estimation, cannot then sell it to fellow Rastafarians. So it's gone some way for them, and the fight is still on. But one thing is for sure, every Jamaican recognizes the benefits, and we are outstanding in the nations. And what we need are, you know, similar-minded allies, so our strength can show on the, you know, the global front.
There are so many hypocrisies in this. I'm from the United States, Western United States, Oregon, where it is legal. And while I have the legal right as just a 21-year-old citizen to go buy cannabis, indigenous people still don't have a religious right to use it, even though indigenous peoples have a religious right to use peyote and ayahuasca. So the religious argument's been really confused in the United States. And you briefly mentioned the capitalism angle, and I wanted to get your take on this, because we've seen among our community of cannabis users in America a division between the activism and the commercialism, and some fear that the commercialism is overtaking some of the human rights considerations. More specifically, Brendan Kennedy and a group called Privateer Holdings is in with Rita Marley and the Marley family and distributing Marley Naturals, which are grown in Colorado and not helping a single ganja farmer in Jamaica. Give me your thoughts on the capitalism happening in America and what needs to happen to, you know, help these ganja farmers.
Well, we're guarded against that, but part of it, we don't want to stop persons from earning, as my colleague said before. So what we have asked and what we are doing on the ground is to have the ganja growers and association very cooperative, have a community-based approach to development of the industry, because there is a potential for a medicinal industry. There is the potential for a product industry, byproduct industry, and we're saying as part of that angle is to have persons included. We don't want a capitalism that will exclude our traditional farmers who have been the sacrificial lamb for this industry, who have been imprisoned by even the U.S. and deported back and have their lives destroyed by even the U.S. So we're saying if you're going to come, you have to come with some level of partnership and not slavery. We're not doing the sugar slavery thing again.
Yeah.
We're not going to cede ganja to a colonial power who is coming in a different form. And that's a conversation that is happening. We're willing to partner. But if you're not coming with partnership, we're not willing to work. We're not going to be slavery ever again.
We recognize the need for responsible capitalism. Jamaica is not ideological. We know it takes money to make the mayor run. Not only that, we have our hopes and dreams, and every farmer in Jamaica wants to elevate their children to a better life. As simple as farming it's a very fulfilling task, and the people who do it are dedicated, and we seek to protect the small farmers and the grassroots farmers, because their ambition is to be the backbone of our economy and to elevate their families in such a way. For that reason, they need to sell their product. We are not closing off the market, but we don't want rampant capitalism at all costs. And we can look at the U.S. and take heed and take warning. We're not going that way. We're going to do this responsibly. And we all collectively in Jamaica, and especially those who have the influence and the power to make it happen right, we recognize our responsibility to our people. And that starts with our traditions, our culture, and the people who feed us, our farmers.
Thank you so much for an illuminating discussion on these issues. I got to visit Jamaica for the first time last year, and it was beautiful. I can't wait to go again. Have a great session here at the United Nations, and a good lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you.